Welcome into the Polite Politics Podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Page. My guest today is Congresswoman Mia Love. Thank you so much for joining me. This is great to be in your office.
No problem. Excited to be here.
Well, I'm curious. This is year one. You're coming to just about a year now here in D.C. What's it like? What's the transition been like?
Well, it's been really fast-paced, that's for sure. It's kind of crazy how things move really quickly in the House compared to the Senate. You go over to the Senate's office and things just kind of go slow. People walk slower. A lot of things are happening here, and you have to learn very quickly and adjust very quickly and be able to have a get that process down in a very short time period. So
I feel like you've had some time on the national stage, but Congress is still pretty new. What's been the biggest surprise?
Well, I think the biggest surprise would be, and I guess it's a bigger surprise than I thought, is the amount, how complicated and big Washington is. It's very difficult to navigate through, and it shouldn't be that way. When you have a big government, centralized government system like this that was never meant to be so centralized, that people end up losing their ability to understand what's going on, to be able to make their voices heard in Washington. And it's been my mission to do everything I can to get the decision-making as close to people as possible. Simplify Washington here. Make Washington smaller so that people can be bigger.
One of the things we found in talking with members of Congress is that your committee assignments tend to take up a huge chunk of time and be a lot of the most influential things you do. Can you talk a little bit about your committee assignments and what you're doing?
Well, I'm on financial services. It's pretty much doing everything I can to create an opportunity where people can get credit, where the finances are a little bit more liquid. So that it's not difficult for people to be able to get a loan for a small business if they need to be able to get the credit to get into a home. For them, for a lot of people, that is just the basic of the American dream. A lot of the banking regulation comes and is driven right out of Washington. And I tend to allow people to really engage with their consumers, to get to the basic needs of their consumers so that everyone can get that individual type of relationship with whatever financial institution that they get. Utah has a big presence in financial services. So that was also the big reason why this committee was a good fit for me. This is, again, and keeping the promises that I made to people, doing everything I can so that they can get goods and services at the lowest price possible.
Mm-hmm. You talk as a very consumer-focused, provide the best opportunity for consumers. I'm curious, how do you balance tough calls when most of the things that are common sense are passed very easily, but it seems like there's a lot of dysfunction, disagreement when you're managing two competing interests.
Well, I simplify. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing I did as a mayor. Before making any new commitments, I asked myself, is it affordable? Is it sustainable? And is it my job? In other words, is it Washington's job to make that decision? And it's very similar to the way that I make decisions here. I ask myself, is it affordable? Is it sustainable? Is it what the people of Utah send me to do? And if it doesn't fit those criteria, then it's an easy no. But I made some promises to the people of the 4th District that I was going to get the decision-making as close to them as possible, that I was going to make sure that Washington reins in its spending, that we were going to treat the type of legislations that I choose to approve or pick up based on the same types of decisions I made as a mayor.
You're still very young for a member of Congress. you're still relatively new, but I want to fast forward to the end of your career politically, whenever that is. If you could have one dream accomplishment, if I said you could have one thing, what would that be? What would you really like to accomplish while you're here?
Gosh, I guess it boils down to one thing. All of the decisions I make, if Washington's less powerful. If people have the ability, have their freedoms back, and have the ability to be the authors of their life, then I would have accomplished what I set to do. Hopefully I'm not here too long. I want to still be young and enjoy my family but we're all, my family and I, we're all in this together. This is all of our journey and it's part of Utah's journey also. And so, while we're doing this, I hope that my children can learn from this process. I hope that I can bring Utah along with me through this process, and Utah becomes a little bit bigger, more recognized for the things that we're doing. And I hope that at the end of the day, that's what happens, that we end up getting the decision making as close to people again.
I'm noticing through what you say and what a lot of members of Congress and Governor Herbert have told me about the state of Utah, it seems like people are starting to notice. People are starting to notice what Utah does. Mm-hmm. What's that been like? Have you had members of Congress mention that, or what's?
Well, I think one of the common comments that I get was, "How'd you get elected in the state of Utah?" And I think that they're referring to the fact that I'm the only female in the delegation, that I am a mother with three kids, I am a Black American. But I guess the people start taking notice because Utah is more concerned about getting things done. Utah is more concerned and more family oriented. And so, I think that there's this idea of Utah that is starting to change and how we are growing very quickly. We've got very young families. We are more than up and coming. We're actually solving problems, even in areas like intergenerational poverty. We are doing really well in our low employment rates. So Utah is on the map for many, many reasons. And, I most of the time I just tell people to just follow the sun and you'll find Utah. But I think that's the reason why we're on the map. It's because we're less concerned about what people look like. We're more concerned about getting things done. We're more concerned about solving problems and doing what's best for the next 40 to 50 years as opposed to doing what's best for the next election.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, you did mention race, and I just have one question about that. I don't want to ask the stupid. I was going to ask what is the dumbest question you've heard, but I'm sure it's race related. I just want to ask what it's been like being on the Congressional Black Caucus. You made the case during the campaign that you wanted to work from inside it rather than just reject it.
Right.
And I'm curious, how's that gone a year in? What's it been like?
Well, good and bad, but that's like that in any place, right? That's mm-hmm. like that inside the GOP. With any place, you'll find people that are there that really want to do the right things, and you'll find people that are there just to make sure that they get reelected. Mm-hmm. And I tend to work with those that are really willing to do the right thing. As a matter of fact, Marsha Fudge, who was on Workforce and Education, is a co-sponsor of my Affordable College Act, which is to remove regulation that brings the cost of higher education down. We are finding that as tuition rises far faster than the rate of inflation, that it's making it difficult for middle-income families to poor families and everything, in between. It's very difficult for them for their children to be able to get an education with the rising cost of tuition. So this is something where she realized that we wanted to do something together that would drive down the cost of higher education, and she jumped on with me. So, there are people there that we're working with. One of the goals that I said I was going to do everything I can to bring people to come along with me, and we're making some inroads. For a long time, there have been a lot of people. There's been no one to push up against those ideas that they all have together. And so when you push up against some of those ideas and you say, how about this? Will this work a little bit better? Some people will listen and say, I never thought about it like this before. Mm-hmm. I think, again, it's not always the most comfortable place to be in, but you have to put yourself in uncomfortable situations in order to really lead.
Last question. You were just placed on the select committee over Planned Parenthood.
Well, it's actually the select committee to investigate infants and what's happening in that area. And I have to say that it's important that we tread very carefully. There's a lot that we don't know about what's happening in this industry in terms of the procurement of and the sales of body parts. I think first and foremost, it's my job to protect human life. But even with that being said, there's so many questions out there that it's also my job to go on a fact-finding mission and to be as transparent as possible and let the American people decide what they want to do with the information that they get. And so, it's not going to be an easy committee. I'm honored as a freshman that I was chosen to be on this committee. I don't think there's been a freshman ever selected to be on a special select committee like this. I really appreciate and certainly am honored to have been chosen for this committee. But there's a lot of responsibility in making sure that I'm fair, that I just go on a fact-finding mission and let the American people decide what they want to do with the information that is given to them.
Okay. Let me slip in one more to end on more of a positive, that I know that's a tough issue.
It's a heavy issue, yeah.
It's a heavy issue. I'm curious, the Republican Party here in the House and nationally has been changing a little bit lately with the change in speakers.
Yes.
What is your take on the state of the Republican Party? Is it unified? Is it divided?
Well, let's start off by what we've seen in the results. Paul Ryan got 95%, one of the highest percentages that any speaker has gotten in the majority. So that's an indicator itself. I voted for Paul Ryan and Mitt Romney for the presidency, the vice president and president of the United States. I think that especially the way that Paul Ryan wants to restructure the seat, the speaker seat, I think it's exactly the type of shift we need. And what I mean by that is we in the majority have been behaving as if we're in the minority. And the position of the minority is to just oppose. And we can't, and we're even bad at that, by the way. We're terrible at even opposing. It's what I've been saying for a long time. We've got to go out and talk to people about what we're for, why conservative policies have actually taken more people out of poverty than any other policy. I've seen them work as a mayor. I've seen them work as a mother. With conservative policies, no one in this country is predestined to be poor. I think it's important for us to go out and talk about how this is going to help not just one particular American, but all Americans across the board, that people can be as ordinary or as extraordinary as they choose to be. One last thing I wanted to mention is I had a town hall meeting where I invited veterans to come out and speak to us. And one lady came who was not a vet, and this black woman came and said, I wanted to come and hear you speak because I've been a liberal all my life. And she said, I woke up one day and I realized that liberals give you exactly what you need to stay exactly where you are. And your policies, the things that you've talked about, are saying that I have the opportunity to actually go a little bit further and have not just what I need, but some of the things that I want. And I can be as ordinary or as extraordinary as I choose to be. And so I think that message is resonating. I have hope for this country, or else I wouldn't be here. I have hope that we're moving in the right direction, this conference. New leadership is good. Nice, fresh, young, really ambitious and active leaders are what's needed to invigorate this country. I still believe that we live in the best country on earth, and it's my job, my responsibility as an American, as a mom, as a Utahn, to continue to fight for this country.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for downloading the podcast. Be sure to like the Polite Politics community fan page on Facebook and be sure to tell your friends.
Thank you.